Well, we are so glad you're here to celebrate our Savior. We're so thankful for all the many faces that I got to meet tonight. And if there's some here that we haven't gotten a chance to say hi, please stick around afterwards. We'd love to meet you if you've never been here before. And we just can't stop reminding ourselves how madly in love we are with the King for all that He has done. And as you've seen, whether it's through prayer, the beginning, or whether it was in song or in dance or in the preaching of the Word, and just so thankful for everyone who has sacrificed and given and surrendered their gift to the King. You know, and that is what God has been looking for from each one of us, that each one would surrender the gift that they have been given by the King for the King. Amen? This is what He's looking for. I want to read from Luke chapter 2. I know you guys have probably never heard this before. Probably never heard it written or read. But in Luke chapter 2 in verse 1, and I have to do this in the King James Version because you just can't do Christmas Eve unless you do it in the King James Version, right? I mean, that's just the way it works, all right? So for all of you NIV people, you know, nearly inspired version and stuff like that, you'll have to bear with me. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city." They kept that going, haven't they? I think these guys, they took a chapter out of the scriptures here and they expounded upon it. It says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem," or if you're from Iraq, it's pronounced Bethlehem, all right? Because our Iraqi pastor, he corrected me on that many times. "But because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight, the opportunity to come and worship you, the opportunity for your sons and daughters to gather to sing your praises, to give you the glory that you're the only one who deserves. There is none like you, Father. We come and we lay our lives down and we lift up our voices unto you tonight, and we say hallelujah to the King of glory, the one who was and is to come. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness that you have poured out upon us as we read in your scriptures already, the way that you made a way for each and every one of us, that our sins would be washed away and our names would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life and our names would be called sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Father, for new beginnings tonight, in Jesus' name, Amen. How many remember how Linus's rendition of that scripture in the Peanuts, right? For you younger people, I know that's too old. The cinematography isn't that great and all of that stuff. But those were the classics when they used to preach the Word of God in cartoons. And you know, one man had a thought as he started writing the Peanuts cartoons. And over the lifetime of the Peanuts, they were in 2,600 newspapers, readership of 355 million, 75 countries in 21 languages. He took his gift and he preached the Word of God. He did funny things and stuff with the Peanuts many times, but he incorporated a lot of scripture. You know, the scripture says that we'll do greater things. I don't know, but I haven't read a scripture where Jesus had interpreted into 21 different languages what he spoke, except through the Holy Ghost. And when any man or woman spoke in the Holy Ghost, then it was translated at that time. And so we see that although, in that time when the Peanuts started to run and he started writing the comics and the cartoons about it, he injected the Word of God. And this thing took off. This thing went worldwide. Just one gift, animation, storytelling, and he incorporated Christ into it. And I really want to encourage you tonight, whatever your gift is that God has given, think not it being small. He was just drawing sketches on a piece of paper. But the one thing he didn't do, he didn't quit. He didn't stop. He didn't give up, even though it was hard. I was listening to an interview the other day at Liberty University, Larry the Cable Guy, whatever you think about him, he's got some junk that he says that I don't agree with. But one of the things in the interview, he went to a Christian college. And he said, well, people don't know. They think it just happens. He said, but for 5 years, every day, I called, I forget what the exact number, but like 25 different radio stations 5 days a week for 5 years. He didn't give up on what he believed he was supposed to or what he was dreaming about. And I want to encourage you with the gift that you have tonight. I don't know where you're at with it. I don't know what's been going on in your life, but I want to encourage you, don't stop. Don't give up. I don't know how long it's been. I don't know what's been going on in your life. And I am not worried about your yesterdays. And I know God isn't either. Amen? You know, everybody wants to talk about this. Everybody has heard about this story because it's thrilling. A baby laying in a manger is God's answer to all the brokenness and the sin that has plagued humanity ever since our rebellion. He's the only answer. Christmas is God's solution to yours and my deepest struggles. And there's no one in here that hasn't gone through struggles. Amen? Right. But there's one who's carried us through them all. You're here tonight because he carried you through your struggles. You know what? We would never want to minimize any struggles in here. We've all gone through them, but they cannot be our focus. The focus has got to be the one who overcame and made a way in our lives and for our lives where there was no way. Our hearts have to be soft and pliable towards him. The only solution for this world, and we can look at it right now, what's going on in America and around the world, the only solution out there in the streets is Jesus Christ. There's no other answer. All the stuff that our government, everybody else is dealing with is all the leaves on the trees. The root is the issue of the heart. And the only one that can change your heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, maybe you're going through a struggle. I don't know. Maybe you're struggling in a relationship. Maybe you're struggling financially. Maybe you're struggling with a past attitude, prayerfully, not towards me, but prayer, you know, maybe you have an attitude that you haven't dealt with. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you, you can get set free from it tonight. You can find victory in it tonight. Why? Because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all things are possible for them that believe. Tell your neighbor, say, I believe. And if you believe, all things become possible. You say, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. I don't have to. He does. Pastor, you don't know how to walk through this. I don't, but he does. Pastor, but you don't realize what you're asking of me. I'm not asking anything of you except to surrender to him and to allow him in. what God did in the past is more important than what you have done in the past. I want to say it again. Because most people get hung up on yesterday. But what God did in the past is more important than what you've done in the past. And he said that I'm going to wash and cover and throw away and get rid of so that no man or woman will ever accuse you before me ever again. I'll take care of your past. Just look to me and remind yourself of what I've done. Colossians 1:27, it says, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if you know Jesus Christ, he's in you. Look at it was God's will to make known the riches of his glory. He wanted you to know and to understand. He did not want you walking alone. He didn't want you walking by yourself. He didn't want you to not have an understanding of how to walk out of whatever you're in, how to find victory in whatever you've been struggling with, and how to find peace on earth in every situation. Because we can all find peace in the situation when we stand on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we walk with him and agree with his word. The anticipation of Christmas is incredible. It's incredible. Owen, what's the greatest gift you can get for Christmas? You don't know? Come on. How old are you? You're 10 and you don't know? All right. It's a drum, Owen. A broken drum. You can't beat it. All right, all right, all right. I'm sorry. It's a dad joke, all right? Come on, Owen. But the anticipation is in Christmas is incredible, isn't it? Even tonight, this is one of my favorite nights of all. Because we're reminding each and every one that comes, and maybe we don't get to see a whole lot. Frankie, it's so good to see you. Don't get to see you a whole lot. Not for now, anyway. Frankie, you got a gift, you know, and a calling. All right, just so we're clear. It came upon a midnight clear. Is it clear tonight, Frank? Good. The anticipation of Christmas is incredible, right? At 58, I still get excited thinking about it, preparing for it. I still do. I still think about everybody coming together. I think about the dancers dancing and, you know, not the nine ladies dancing. We had four, but whatever your Christmas, you know, tradition is. And the people, I mean, all of our worship team coming and practicing and serving and everybody working so hard to make everything look so nice. And it just stirs me every Christmas season when I think about what God had done, the anticipation of it, the one time a year that I get to buy a piece of meat. I buy one rib roast for Christmas. I buy two because our family's growing. But now, and I get yelled at every year because we have leftovers, lots of them, because I buy too much apparently. But I don't want people going without, right? That's the one time. And I just can't wait to walk in the store and go, in anticipation of Christmas dinner. And I get to pick out whatever I want. And it's a good time. I'm happy. Hey, how you doing? Merry Christmas. And I just have a blast. The anticipation of it, you know. My wife and I, we start talking in September, planning out, you know, what we're going to do. What children will be around. I love being around my children, my grandkids, and everything that has to do with it. But it was all because of him and the anticipation of it. And you know what? God had great anticipation also. God had an anticipation of what was coming. And he couldn't hold it back either, right? Because we know in Genesis chapter 3 and 15, we know that when man stumbled and fell, right? And the serpent came and said, did God say? And man stumbled. And then what did God say in chapter 3 of verse 15? He said, all right, serpent, I gave them authority. They surrendered it to you because they disobeyed my word. But I want you to know, boy, she's going to stomp on your head. That child of hers is going to stomp on your head. God's anticipation of victory from the beginning, and he wanted us to know about it. He didn't want you to worry about anything. He said, hey, you're going to crush her head. Anything, because there's no demon in hell that can stand against the word of God. There's none that can overpower you. None on this planet. The weakest Christian is greater than every demon there is in hell because of the Christ in you. That's what his word says. And God wanted you. There was an anticipation in God. He said, okay, you messed with my kids. They're going to crush your head. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be wonderful, shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Look at God's telling you, I'm going to do this for every single one that believes in me. God couldn't even hold it. Did you ever tell somebody, hey, you want to know what I'm getting you? You can't keep your mouth shut. Right? You're so excited about what they're going to receive. I can't wait till you open mine. I can't wait. Don't touch it. My father was famous. He always tried to guess it beforehand. Used to frustrate me. Don't touch it. I didn't want him guessing it. I wanted to be a surprise. But God had great anticipation for each and every one of us. And it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That son is going to come and he's going to crush the head of Satan. And he's going to bring you deliverance and freedom from every bit of bondage you'll ever walk or ever go off in. Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. That's what God does. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, which means, as what Pastor Tom already said, Micah 5:2, it says, but thou, Bethlehem, after that, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been made from of old, from everlasting. Before we were ever born, before the world was formed, Jesus was already prepared as the offering for each and every one of us. It was from everlasting to everlasting. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ never loses its authority. Ever. It doesn't matter what any government on this earth, there's only one government that has no end. And that's the government of God. There's only one King of Kings and one Lord of Lords. And his name is Jesus Christ. And every other man, woman, and child will one day bow before the Savior. Everyone will. No one will stand in his presence. Oh, I just get excited about this. Jeremiah 23:5-6, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Look at God was saying, God was so excited about Jesus coming to the earth that he had to let us know over and over and over again. And isn't it amazing how the mind takes that, and the ones that studied the most missed it. The ones that said they knew it all, stay away from the KIAs. The know-it-all, all right? Be careful about being the KIAs and hanging out with them. They think they know more than the Word of God. Anything outside the Word of God one day will surrender to the Word of God. Everything, all man's ideas, hypotheses, and their thoughts, all the false religions that have been created on the planet, every one of them will come to nothing. They'll come to nothing. The only thing they will do is enslave those for all of eternity. This season is historically known as the Advent, which means coming. He was coming. It was an excitement. God had been speaking it for thousands of years. He said, it's coming. Get ready. He's coming. Get ready. He's coming. Get ready. And now we know we're celebrating the Advent that he's coming, but God wants you to know tonight he's coming again. Get ready. Because so many people are just walking around in a fog, just living life carelessly, haphazardously, not caring about the things of God. I want you to know, you will stand before him one day. Yeah, come on up, guys.
Oh, man, I got to hurry up. My goodness.
Christmas celebration of Jesus' first coming and arrival. Hope is eager expectation. Hope is waiting with the assurance that what one is waiting for will one day come true. This is the hope of the world, Jesus Christ. And we know that he's going to come again. We know that. The arrival of Jesus at Christmas time is the fulfillment of hope, and we celebrate God's faithfulness and goodness. We're reminded that God will always come through on his promises. And the scripture says there in Luke chapter 2 that the angels came suddenly. I can't imagine what those shepherds went through, what went through their mind. I think it's Daniel chapter 10 that talks about what the angel looked like and his robe and the golden sash and the glory of God, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. And these men, they must have been startled because it came suddenly. You're in a field in the middle of darkness and all of a sudden, wham! This angel that comes with all kinds of power and authority. And then it says, one version, it says, then suddenly the heavenly host joined them. Wham! Whole lot more angels, all proclaiming one thing, Jesus Christ, the Lord. That's what they came to herald. God's anticipation. I wonder what kind of an anticipation the angels had when they got ready to go down there and to shout, glory to God in the highest. They knew that when Jesus Christ came, there would be peace in our hearts if we received him. We would have the opportunity. And they were so excited for mankind to receive the King of Glory as their Savior. So tonight, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 in closing. It says, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, there's a call you got to make. There's a call you got to make. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ and your Lord and Savior, I want you to know he is a Father like no other. He's a Savior. He's the lover of our soul. He's almighty. He's powerful. He adores you. He knows every thought before you ever had them. He knows every hair on your head. For some, that's pretty easy to count. But for others, he knows you more intimately than you know yourself. Because you don't even know. But he knows you that intimately, and he is madly in love with you. Tonight, as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we come as the body of Christ, we've come for one purpose. That everyone here would know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's our desire. That's why we have church. To come and tell everyone the good news. There's good news for you tonight. He loves you. There's good news for you tonight. He's made a way where there seemed to be no way. There's good news. The hurt in your heart can be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Relationships can be restored. Everything changes when Jesus walks into the room. And I want you to know he's here right now. So tonight, let's stand up in the name of Jesus, shall we? And as the ushers come around to light the candles, if you have young children around you, please be careful. And please keep them upright so we don't get the wax all over the chairs. Just light the persons next to you that's standing there and pass it down the line. See, this is what Christianity is all about. One person sharing the light of the world with another. One person sharing the love of God with another. One person reaching out to another and saying, come, walk with me. I want to show you who Jesus is. What we want to do is I want to pray for you before we sing, if that's all right. If you would... Close your eyes for a moment. Be careful of the candle. Father, we come tonight and we just thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, the anticipation of your Son coming to save every single one who would call upon his name. We celebrate that tonight. We celebrate you, Father, that in the midst of our weakness and our failure, you made a way of escape. And Father, tonight, we acknowledge you as the King, as God, as the only true and living God, and there is no other. Tonight, we acknowledge that only through the shedding of blood is there forgiveness of sins, and only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight, Father, we acknowledge that anyone who would repent, turn from their wicked ways, and receive you as their Lord and Savior, they shall be saved. So, Father, tonight, if you're here tonight and you've never prayed this prayer, why don't you join us, come on, church, and say, Father, I come before you, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I make a decision that you are the King of Kings, the Son of God. I bow before you tonight, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I thank you, Father, for making a way in my life, healing me, calling me your own, in Jesus' name. Father, I break every curse and every lie over every heart in here that prayed that prayer. And we thank you, Father, for touching lives tonight in the body of Christ. Thank you for touching their hearts. Lord, that each one would be set free. Each one would believe once again. I know that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and he's coming back again. I know that now he's written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that he's for me and not against me. Tonight, Lord, the hope of the world, Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, he is for you and not against you. Father, we come and we're so grateful for your Son. You sent him. God became incarnate, wrapped himself in a human body. What an act of humility that the very Creator looks like mere man, is confined to the flesh for a season, so that you would walk through all that we have to walk through and walk through it victoriously. You did. And then you said, come, follow me. I'll show you the way. Father, touch every heart in here. We speak life over every family member. Lord, in all the extended families, Lord, that every single one would come to know Jesus Christ. Lord, we celebrate that promise that you gave us, that you and your whole family shall be saved. Let our thoughts be your thoughts. Let our ways be your ways. And let your name be glorified in all that we do. Father, we glorify you and we give you all the praise tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We wish you a Merry Christmas. If you don't have a church, come and join us. We'll be here tomorrow at 11. Remember, for those that are church members, we're here at 11 tomorrow. Go enjoy your family time. Go enjoy your meals. Go enjoy your babies and celebrate Jesus in everything. God bless you all. Amen.